And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Over the past few weeks, the Kinnick tribe chief scientist has found very high levels of biotoxins in samples from mussels and clams in southern Alaska. They were more than 3.5 times the FDA limit for safe consumption. KYUK's Francisco Martinez-Cuello spoke to scientists about why this is occurring and what it could mean for the salmon that many communities rely on.
Paralytic shellfish poisoning, or PSP for short, is a potentially fatal illness that comes from eating shellfish that have accumulated paralytic shellfish toxins. The toxins are made by microscopic algae called Alexandrium catenella, which can build up in shellfish. Many Alaskans are familiar with the threat of PSP and what symptoms to watch for, and it turns out that climate change could be making it worse. Scientist Bruce Wright says warming water temperatures combined with the start of El Nino exacerbate algae blooms.
And the blooms of this particular organism called Alexandrium usually begin when the water temperatures hit about 41 degrees Fahrenheit, about 9 degrees Celsius, something like that.
Bruce Wright is Kinnick Tribe's chief scientist.
And so we've been tracking the water temperatures and then also monitoring blue mussels, because blue mussels tend to come up faster than the other bivalves that people like to eat, like butter clams or surf clams.
Since the 1970s, the Kinnick tribe has been involved in sampling, research, and mitigation of harmful algal blooms, or HABs, around the state of Alaska. Earlier this year, the Kinnick tribe received federal funding for the sampling, testing, and outreach of PSP. With the recent funding from the Bureau of Indian Affairs, Kinnick Tribe is conducting weekly blue mussel sampling at six different locations: Accutan, Chignik Lagoon, Juneau, King Cove, Kodiak, and Sand Point. The samples are sent to the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation Environmental Health Laboratory for testing, with results posted online. This project is expected to last until 2028. The Kinnick Tribe is monitoring more than 800 miles of shoreline, from the Aleutians all the way to southeast Alaska.
Near Juneau. And that's a place where, like Sand Point, people have died from eating PSP-contaminated bivalves.
People eat crab viscera, or their guts. Wright says it's actually the hepatopancreas, the organ responsible for filtering impurities from the crab's blood. Although many find its flavor distinct and delicious, it is recommended that you do not eat this, since many chemical contaminants concentrate in the organ.
And we have found that in, especially Dungeness crab, one person has died in southeast Alaska from eating Dungeness crab.
They call it the crab butter, and lots of people have gotten sick from eating the crab butter.
And I have some data that indicates that not only Dungeness crab, but Tanner crab, Apelio, and King crab can have elevated levels of PSP in their gut.
Although people do eat crab butter, most don't and opt to throw it away. Wright says that he's not seen any elevated levels in crab meat. So if people do want to eat crab butter, he recommends sending samples in for monitoring. Wright is working with Emma Pate to get samples from people who are eating king crab in the Norton Sound area. Pate is the environmental coordinator with Norton Sound Health Corporation within the Office of Environmental Health Department. The Norton Sound Health Corporation established a harmful algal bloom sampling and monitoring program in 2020. It's intended to be an ongoing program because climate will continue to change and impact the ocean and rivers. And members in Pate's community are very subsistence activity oriented.
So all the salmon and marine wildlife in our ocean is very important for us for food security. And we're looking for ways to ensure we can monitor the water quality through the base of the food web, which is algae.
Last summer, Pate started collecting samples 2 miles offshore of Nome. She received samples last July that were more than 18 times the normal levels of the toxins, which prompted an advisory in Savunga and Gamble. Pate says these levels impacted the food web like clams. Pate says clams are considered one of the highest toxin carriers because they bioaccumulate the toxin as they filter the seawater. So any toxin levels just continually increase in them. And these toxins don't harm the clam, but they can harm those who consume the clam. These advisories help save lives. According to Pate, people have shipped some clams for testing and will continue to before eating them.
So in all reality, we had a very toxic bloom last summer.
And it may not just be shellfish that are impacted by PSP. Wright thinks PSP may be impacting fish too, and he has receipts.
One of the issues that seems to be of concern is Yukon River king salmon and the juvenile king salmon. A lot of them move down and spend several years feeding in the Aleutian Islands, where we have high PSP levels, and the PSP is propagating through the food web into forage fish like sand lance, like that sand lance in Deering that probably died from PSP. It had PSP levels 10 times above the, almost 10 times above the FDA limit.
Wright says that he's found dead sand lance, a small coastal fish on the beaches, occasionally in the Aleutian Islands. He's tested both sand lance and herring down there with high levels of PSP.
That's getting in the food web, and that can be taking out the rearing king salmon that spends several years feeding in the Aleutian Islands. That might be one of the factors that's affecting the decline of Yukon king salmon and chum salmon.
The Kinnick tribe is testing salmon to try to better understand this, and Wright says both Alaska Department of Fish and Game and U.S. Fish and Wildlife sent them a lot of samples last summer. Wright says that water temperatures were cold last year, so the PSP event was not significantly strong. But this year is set to be different, and the state's Fish and Game, as well as U.S. Fish and Wildlife, will send them samples to test.
But we have had king salmon from the adult king salmon that have just come back, and we're getting ready to spawn, or had spawned. No, I guess they were getting ready to spawn. And they were their livers, in some of them, exceeded the FDA limit. So the livers of king salmon, which are a delicacy for some people, are a risk factor for PSP toxicity.
Wright wants the public to know that if you're going to eat king salmon livers, throw them in the freezer and send them a subsample to better understand the risk of eating that particular food.
My point is that the decline of king salmon in the Yukon River, one of the factors could be that they're feeding in an area now that has really high levels of PSP.
Wright says he's working with NOAA as well to try and understand the effects on the ecosystem from PSP and make predictions and helping to educate people about the risk of PSP. In Bethel, I'm Francisco Martinez Cuello.
The Port of Seattle shut down its cargo operations Saturday due to labor conflicts, and the Port of Alaska says it could affect the state. About 90% of Alaska's goods arrive by ship or barge, and most of that comes via Seattle. Jim Jaeger is a spokesperson for the Port of Seattle and Anchorage.
Any impact on shipping out of Seattle-Tacoma area is going to have an impact on Alaska, just because we're getting all of our goods there, or the vast majority.
Jaeger says half of the goods barged to Alaska stay in Anchorage, and the other half is distributed throughout the state, even sent back down to communities in Southeast. The details of the shutdown are unclear. The Pacific Maritime Association, which represents terminal operators, blames the labor union, the International Longshore and Warehouse Union, for the shutdown. The labor union denies its worker strike is causing the port's closure. Jaeger says the extent of the impact on Alaska won't be known for a while, but he says it will likely be more of an inconvenience, like minor delays of goods getting onto shelves. He says the bulk of the slowdown is in international cargo, so it probably won't be a huge hit to Alaska.
I don't think it'll get terrible, but, you know, it all depends on your line of work. If you're worried about getting food for the grocery store, yeah, we'll get most of your stuff. On the other hand, if you're in a business that relies on something that's coming from Asia, you may have a real problem coming up.
Jaeger stresses that it's important for Alaskans not to panic shop, as some did buying products like toilet paper during the pandemic. That could only make things worse.
It took 6 months to sort of get out of that whipsaw action of the supply chain. Could that happen? You bet it could. And will it happen? Oh, but with some goods it does.
As for the strike itself, Jaeger says there are different unions in Alaska and it won't affect port workers here. And a Sterling man survived a brown bear attack north of Skelak Lake Road, this area this weekend, by shooting and killing the bear, according to Alaska wildlife troopers. Troopers say 34-year-old Nicholas Abraham of Sterling was rabbit hunting in the Kenai National Wildlife Refuge Saturday evening when he was attacked by a female brown bear with two cubs. Abraham was able to shoot and kill the sow with a .44 caliber handgun, according to the trooper dispatch, and was later treated for minor injuries at a Kenai Peninsula hospital. It is legal to shoot and kill a bear in self-defense in Alaska as long as one does not provoke an attack or behave in a negligent way, like leaving food out, for example. Bears killed in this manner are the property of the state, according to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and the shooter is required to give the hide and skull of the bear to Fish and Game. And as for the weather, it's 57 degrees and a bit sunny this afternoon in Juneau. The low tonight is 46, and tomorrow may be sunny as well. This is KTOO.